Mugabe may still be trying to negotiate his exit rather than, you know, just getting tossed out. He may still be talking to the Zimbabwean generals. He may still be talking to Jacob Zuma and say, well, these are the terms by which I will exit.
That's reporter Andrew Meldrum. He lived and worked in Zimbabwe for more than two decades. In 2003, the Mugabe government expelled him after he reported on state torture. Meldrum now lives in Johannesburg and says a lot still hangs in the balance in Zimbabwe.
It's not clear who's going to lead Zimbabwe after Mugabe and what kind of government it's going to be. There are many people who are very hopeful that it's going to be an inclusive democracy that restores Zimbabwe's economic prosperity and respects human rights. There are other people who say, well, it may be ruled by the generals and it's going to be more of the same and that things won't be wildly different from under Mugabe. This is a coup that is trying to look more transitional than like a strongman.
What makes you feel it's a transitional coup? What have you seen so far?
Well, certainly the way the generals are speaking, and also I think we're seeing Jacob Zuma and other South African officials get involved. We're seeing neighboring countries of the Southern African Development Community, SADC, get involved. And, they're committed to good governance. And so this is what they are trying to encourage, is a return to constitutional rule within days of it being overtaken by the military.
And then there's Robert Mugabe's wife, Grace, whose sudden ascent to power seems to be what really angered the military and prompted action yesterday. Allegedly, she's fled the country, maybe to Namibia. You were there the day she married Zimbabwe's president, not Mugabe's first wife. You've watched her rise to power. What do you think? Is she likely to exit the political stage quietly?
Yes, I do think so. I mean, she may take her money and run. On the other hand, you know, she has been Robert Mugabe's chief caretaker. And, I think really she rose to political power in the past few years because she controlled all access to her aging husband. And so that became the gates to power. Maybe she will want to stay, but, you know, on the other hand, maybe she will think it's not safe to stay. And also, of course, she has children. She has a daughter who's living in Hong Kong. She has two sons who are living in Harare. So, there's that to think about as well.
So you're there in Johannesburg, South Africa. What role is South Africa attempting to play at this point?
Jacob Zuma, who is enmeshed by corruption scandals here, is able to step up and say, well, he wants to be a regional statesman. He wants to have a calm and a orderly transition in Zimbabwe, and he's sending up his cabinet ministers to try and negotiate that. So this is something that I think he wants to be seen to be doing.
So some Zimbabwe human rights activists are guardedly optimistic, guardedly. No one is expecting Zimbabwe's police state to crumble, but might there be an opening now for democratic forces in the country?
Well, I think that we are, ushering in, as much as the generals and South Africa and, of course, the recently fired Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa, I think they would all like to have a controlled transition. But once you open this door, once there is a crack, a wedge, maybe civic organizations, human rights organizations, Zimbabwe's opposition, they may all work together and try and push and force the door open and actually force in a truly democratic change rather than just a controlled transition.
Andrew, you were in Zimbabwe for two decades. What is the best illustration you can recall of how power operates there?
You know, when I first came to Zimbabwe in 1980, that was in the flush of Zimbabwe's, the end of white minority rule. And it was all very positive and anything was possible. And if you had interchange with the police, if you spoke well, people would speak to you well, and you could have a discussion about things and things could be sorted out. By the time I left in 2003, by the time I was thrown out in 2003, it had become a state where there were roadblocks. I was standing by my car, at 11:30 at night with an AK-47 wielding policeman, and it was much more sinister.
Andrew Meldrum with the AP speaking with us from Johannesburg, South Africa. Thanks very much, Andrew.
Thanks, Marco.